It's funny how events thousands of miles away can have an impact on us. But Skip Heitzig points out that when it comes to events in the Middle East, that's exactly the case.
And while we're wondering, what does this mean biblically for the world? We also wonder, what does this mean to us nationally as Americans? After all, we're the ally of Israel. We're the ones supplying them bombs and armaments to some degree to help fight this war. Where will America be in the end time scenario? And then even beyond that, what does it mean to us personally? How should we live in this present crisis?
Make the connection at the foot of the cross. Study the word of God to find the way into His love. And take the time to read, for Jesus took the time to bleed for our sins. Whoa.
Very little takes place in the Middle East that isn't immediately picked up by national news services. And as Iran continues to be defiant and worries over their development of nuclear weapons grow, interest in that region isn't about to wane anytime soon. Well, today in The Connection, Skip Heitzig helps us understand how events in that area can have a direct impact on us as Christians. It's a fascinating new series that will begin here in just a moment. But first, I wanted to mention our new resource for this month, which will provide you even more insights into what's happening today and how those events connect to end times prophecy.
9 years ago, headlines around the world reported on a terrorist attack that was beyond imagination.
The second building that was hit by the plane has just completely collapsed. The entire building has just collapsed.
For many, life has never been the same since that fateful day. Yet as tragic as 9/11 was, it pales in comparison with what the Bible reveals will take place when the end times culminate. This month, The Connection invites you to take a closer look at what the Bible reveals about future world events with a special collection of teachings from speakers such as Skip Heitzig.
Now, Jerusalem, Israel, is at the very center of God's prophetic program. And because of that, it is also in the crosshairs of Satan's attack throughout history and even today.
Tim LaHaye.
The truth is that there are over 1,000 prophecies in the Bible. Over half of them have already been fulfilled.
Lieutenant General retired Jerry Boykin, Joel Rosenberg, and more. This set of seven CDs from the recent Preach the Word Prophecy Conference is available this month from The Connection for just $35. Call 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org and order your set today. Learn what the Bible says that we'll see in tomorrow's headlines. Seven astounding teachings for just $35 when you call 1-800-922-1888.
So what exactly is it about the Middle East that makes it such a powder keg? And why does so much of future history take place there? Well, that's some of what we'll explore in our new series, Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace.
And make the connection.
As you open your Bibles to Matthew 24, Skip Heitzig gets us caught up on some of the events that have taken place in the Middle East in recent years.
Somebody once said that peace is that brief, glorious moment in history when everyone stands around reloading. And that could certainly be said of the Middle East as we look and find out what's happening with Israel and Lebanon. Iran coming into the picture, Syria, already a war that's been going on in Afghanistan and Iraq. But this is an interesting battle that is going on right now. It's what Newt Gingrich, former Speaker of the House, has titled World War III. And it's virtually on every news outlet in the world right now, what's happening over there. Time magazine featured just this week the Middle East. And if you can see on the front is a picture of an AK-47 crossed with an M16. It says, "Why they fight and why it's different this time. You know the news. You know that over 1,200 Katyusha rockets have been fired by Hezbollah from Lebanon into Israel. You know that Israel has retaliated with airstrikes and more recently a ground incursion into that country. And we've heard the rhetoric that has gone on from the Hezbollah leader, Hassan Nasrallah. These are hard words to say. Who has basically said, we are calling for the total annihilation of the state of Israel. And that doesn't surprise us because the ones who back them, namely Iran, would say the same Hitler-like rhetoric. The leader of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, has called for the wiping away of all of the Jews because that is a blight to the Middle East. So as we're watching all of this stuff, we're wondering, where does that leave us biblically? What state are we in terms of the end time biblical scenario? Certain scriptures come to our mind, like Ezekiel 38 and 39, which predict an end time invasion from the north of Israel, named the Magog invasion. And what's very interesting to us is that the chief ally in that invasion is Iran, ancient Persia. So our ears perk up when we hear that Iran is behind this somehow. Or we remember other texts of scriptures like Isaiah chapter 17, which predict the total annihilation of the city of Damascus in Syria, which has never happened historically. And we're wondering, could we be on the verge of seeing some of these things take place? And while we're wondering, what does this mean biblically for the world? We also wonder, what does this mean to us nationally as Americans? After all, we're the ally of Israel. We're the ones supplying them bombs and armaments to some degree to help fight this war. Where will America be in the end time scenario? And then even beyond that, what does it mean to us personally? How should we live in this present crisis? So I'm having you turn to the pages of Scripture, Matthew chapter 24. It says, Jesus went and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said to them, do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. If you open up the pages of Scripture and you start at the beginning in the Garden of Eden, you discover the Bible opens with peace. There's peace in the Garden of Eden. There's euphoria, there's utopia. It couldn't get any better. And if you go to the end of the Bible closes in peace. The New Jerusalem, the eternal state, everlasting peace. So you've got the Garden of Eden and the Garden of Eternity. Peace in the beginning, peace in the end, but everything else between point A and point B is not peaceful. In fact, the things that Jesus predicted here in Matthew 24 are things that to some degree have filled the pages of world history. Author and historian Will Durant, who wrote that famous set of books, The Story of Civilization, made an interesting comment, and he did so almost 40 years ago. He said, out of the 3,421 years of recorded history, only 268 years have seen no war. If you average that out, that means only 8% of world history has been a time of peace. Only 8%. People everywhere, of all times, have always wanted world peace. They'll do anything to get it. I heard about a couple, they retired, and they were so alarmed by the threat of nuclear war that they wanted to find a place on Earth that was safe, impervious to any nuclear war. So they did a prolonged and intense study of all of the inhabited places on Earth where they could sell everything, move to, and be protected, having ultimate security. And they found it. And they moved everything and themselves to this new island paradise. And they wrote to their pastor at Christmas in 1981 from their new paradise, the Falkland Islands. And if you know your recent history, you know that a few months after that, there was an all-out war in the Falkland Islands between Argentina and Britain. No place is safe on this earth. The name of this message is The Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace. And this morning, what I'd like us to do is look at Matthew 24. There are three facts we have to have under our belts before we can even understand what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew 24 and 25. Three very important facts. All of them emerge in the first few verses. The first is the place from which this was given. The second is the prediction that Jesus made about the future in verse 2. The third is the problem that this posed for the disciples that they asked him about in verse 3. So the place, the prediction, and the problem, those are the three things we want to look at today. You'll notice the place is the Middle East, there in Israel. Jesus with his disciples are in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is a city mentioned 821 times in the Bible. No other city is given as much press in the Bible as the city of Jerusalem. Now, it's also interesting to note that the second most mentioned city in the Bible next to Jerusalem is Babylon, Iraq. So that's very interesting, and we even see that play out in the very end of times in the tribulation period in the book of Revelation. So there they are in the Middle East, in Israel, in Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, overlooking the city of Jerusalem, especially the temple area. And that's why Matthew 24 is called the Olivet Discourse, simply because Jesus is saying it on the Mount of Olives. And it's one of four major sermons that Jesus gives in his ministry, the first being the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, the second being the Kingdom Parables of Matthew 13, the third being the Olivet Discourse here, and the fourth being the Upper Room Discourse of John chapters 13 through 16. But what makes this one so fascinating to us is the subject matter. In the Olivet Discourse, Jesus is talking about the future of Jerusalem, the future of the Jews, the future of all the world, and most principally, his own future coming to rule and reign upon the earth. So the point is this, Jesus Christ and his disciples were in the very same place that all of this conflict, all of this controversy that's happening today is. You say, well, Skip, that's not really that true because they were in Jerusalem. This conflict is taking place on the border of Israel and Lebanon, but understand the very center of this conflict is in Jerusalem. Jerusalem, the very heartbeat of the Jewish nation. The place where the temple once stood, the place where the Muslims say Muhammad ascended into heaven to receive the Quran and come back down to the earth. It's still all about what goes on in Jerusalem and who owns that city, and especially that volatile piece of real estate called the Temple Mount. Benjamin Netanyahu, former Prime Minister of Israel, this week told us what this conflict is about. He said, "These people do not believe that we should even exist as a nation. The fact that we are living and breathing air on planet Earth in the Middle East is an affront to them, and they want to get rid of us." Now, this war is not new. Since 1948, May 14th, 58 continual years of conflict has been in that region. And here's why. Because Jerusalem has always been and will always be the center of God's program on the earth. That's why it's mentioned 821 times. It's the center of God's prophetic and salvation program for the world. There's a set of books called the Midrash, Jewish ancient commentaries on the Old Testament. And one of the rabbis, in commenting, said, "The land of Israel is at the center of the world, Jerusalem is at the center of the land of Israel, and the temple is at the center of Jerusalem." In other words, the very heart of the earth is the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Now, from a biblical perspective, Jerusalem is the geographic center of the world biblically. Interesting scripture in Ezekiel chapter 5, verse 5, where God says, "This is Jerusalem. See, I have set her in the midst of all of the nations and countries all around her," right in the middle. I grew up looking at a map of the world. It was always interesting because if you look at a map of the world from America, guess what is in the center? We are. America. But if we would have read our Bible before we produced those maps, we would have put Israel, Jerusalem, right in the middle. It's on a land bridge, that map will show, that connects three major continents, Africa, Asia, and Europe, right there in the middle. In the Bible, north is always north of Jerusalem. South is always south of Jerusalem. East is always east of Jerusalem. West is always west of Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is the geographic center of the world biblically. But more than that, Jerusalem is the salvation center of the world spiritually. Remember that woman at the well of Samaria? She's talking to Jesus in John chapter 4, and she said, "Well, you Jews say Jerusalem is the place to worship. We worship on this mountain right here behind me." Remember what Jesus said? He said, "You don't even know what you worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews." Very interesting statement. Salvation is of the Jews. Well, the only salvation God ever provided for planet Earth was provided just outside the Damascus Gate of Jerusalem at a little place called Golgotha or Calvary. Not only that, but Jerusalem is the storm center of the world prophetically. You could ask any world leader, any world government, and they will tell you what happens in Buenos Aires or London or Los Angeles or New York or any other city, though it might be significant, doesn't hold a candle to what happens in Jerusalem. Whatever happens there, that is huge. The Bible predicts that. Zechariah, the Lord says, "I will make Jerusalem a very burdensome stone for all peoples." But there's more, and here's the best part. Jerusalem is the glory center of the earth, ultimately. You see, Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 2 said, "The law will go forth from Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So God still has his plan centered in Israel, in Jerusalem. And when Jesus comes back the second time, he's going to touch his foot on the very mount he's saying this from, the Mount of Olives. Look at it this way. Over in Israel right now is a kingless throne. It's the throne of David. It has not been occupied for 2,500 years. ever since Jeconiah sinned and there was a blood curse placed on the household and the lineage of King David, for 2,500 years, that throne of David has been unoccupied. There's a kingless throne in Jerusalem. In heaven, right now, is a throneless king. And when Jesus comes back and the throneless king meets up with the kingless throne, it will be what the Bible calls the restitution of all things. And peace and glory will fill the earth. So the place that this takes place in is very, very significant. Here's my point. God's calling upon the Jewish nation is irrevocable. You read Romans 9, 10, and 11, and it will tell you that the plan that God has for the Jews is still intact. And you can read through the Bible and you see that even in the end of times, in the tribulation period, God will seal 144,000 whom? Jews. 12,000 from each of the tribes of Israel. You go a little further on and you find in the thousand-year reign of Christ on earth called the millennium, Jesus Christ reigns from Mount Zion. Later on, there's a new heaven and a new earth in the eternal state, and there's a city that comes out of heaven toward the earth called the New Jerusalem. Not the New San Francisco, the New Jerusalem. And there are 12 gates to that city, and each gate is named after one of the tribes of Israel. So we support Israel, not because they're politically perfect. They've made a lot of blunders. They've made a lot of mistakes. Not because of their economic policies or their humanitarian policies, but simply based upon the covenant that God has made with those people. One pundit had an interesting little quote. He said, "How odd of God to choose the Jew, but not so odd as those who choose the Jewish God but hate the Jew." See, to choose God is to choose the one whose son, the Messiah, will ultimately rule and reign from that place, Jerusalem. We'll now go to verse 2 and notice the prediction that Jesus makes. And Jesus said to them after they said, "Look at these beautiful buildings. Do you not see these things?" Jesus said, "Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, the text doesn't tell us this, but I'm convinced that as soon as the disciples heard this, they did this. It was a jaw dropper. If you read the other accounts, Mark 13, Luke 21, those authors tell us that the disciples pointed specifically to some of the huge stones in the temple. "Check out those stones. Look at that building." See, to the disciples, the fact that there was a temple standing was evidence that God favored and blessed the Jewish nation. Here's a building dedicated to the glory of God. God is inhabiting it. Its standing shows that God is here and blessing and favoring our people. Then Jesus said, "Well, boys, I got news for you. Every one of those stones is coming down." It was a shock to him. The temple at this time was still under construction. Did you know that the temple started construction around 20 BC and ended in 64 AD? So just over 80 years, it took 18,000 people to put that thing up.
Well, there's certainly a lot to unravel when it comes to understanding exactly why Israel always seems to be in the thick of things in the Middle East. So we'll continue with this study on our next program. Now, if you'd like a copy of today's teaching, just call us at 1-800-922-1888 or visit connectionradio.org. We'll send you a copy on CD for just $6, including shipping. So contact us today at 1-800-922-1888, or you can also write us at P.O. Box 95707, Albuquerque, New Mexico, 87199. You can also ask about signing up for the School of Ministry when you contact us. It's a 9-month program that will equip and prepare you to work in those right fields Jesus mentioned to his disciples. To learn more or to register, just call 1-800-922-1888. 1888 or visit connectionradio.org.
And make the connection.
We'll continue with this brand new series entitled Rumblings of War and the Prince of Peace next time here in The Connection, a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.